good morning to everyone, and thank you to the University of Nebraska College of Law for hosting us here today. And thanks to all of the lawyers for being here, and more to the point, thank you to all the students for being here. I should announce that Justice Funk will be participating on the briefs on all of today's cases. He had family business that he could not miss, so that he could not be with us here today. But with that, we will go to the first case of the day, which is Candyland LLC versus Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. Mr. McGinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, I am William McGinn of the law firm McGinn, McGinn, Springer & Nate in Council Bluffs, Iowa. With me this morning is Kyle McGinn, who is my co-counsel on this case. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Our case is an appeal from the district court's dismissal of a petition for review of an administrative decision. The basis for the dismissal was the court's finding that the court lacked jurisdiction. In this case, it was required that once the Liquor Control Commission had made their decision denying our client's application for his license, that the that we had 30 days to file a petition in district court. The main issue was the fact that there was who was an interested party. And having all the interested parties noticed and served in these cases is basically the court's finding that there was not jurisdiction because they weren't all served. Our position is that all interested parties were named, whether we were sure they were interested party or not. The caption.
Are you using interested parties as synonymous with parties of record?
No, Your Honor. Two different things, and that is part of our point. Parties of record were our client, the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission, the City of Omaha. At the hearing on the application, a sheet was passed around with 500 signatures on it, and the question remained is, are those interested parties? Not being sure how that was going to be treated because of the way we were reading the statutes was that the that are these interested parties or are they witnesses? And to err on the side of caution, because of recent case law where in the case involving the White Clay store, there was, I believe, three interested parties that actually spoke and made an appearance at the Liquor Control Commission hearing. Those people were not included. That case was dismissed and upheld. Our position is that we had one person speaking on behalf of all of these interested parties, but were these interested parties actual parties to the case, or were they witnesses? How should they be treated? So that's the question that really that we feel should be put before the court, because that would make a difference in whether or not the court has jurisdiction.
Was that the issue that was before the district court when you filed a motion for certified publication, or was there a different issue before the court?
That was essentially the issue when we filed the motion for certified publication. What do we got to do to get 500 people served within 30 days? That was our problem.
Because the court's order on that motion isn't in our record,
yes.
Does it affect our review?
The order that was part of the court's motion dismissing that. So I would say that I would put that it is part of the review. The fact that the caption, which is part of the review, the original caption to the case, contained all 500 of those names.
Was the record supplemented to include the December order?
Yes, it was.
Was it supplemented to include the judge's notes? Justice on the order or the actual order?
I think it was just the actual order. I don't believe there was any judge's notes on the case.
If our record includes only the judge's notes of a ruling and doesn't include a bill of exceptions that recites an oral ruling from the bench or a written order regarding the ruling, can we reach your assignments of error?
I think you can.
How?
By looking at just the pleadings on their face and the fact that we filed the motion saying, what do we do about these 500 signatures that are on this piece of paper? Do these people need to be served?
When is service by publication completed?
Service by publication, which is another problem. You have 30 days to serve everybody. Ordinarily, when you serve by publication, you have to serve for like multiple weeks on the same day, and that's also the problem. Is it feasible to get 500 people served within 30 days, either by publication, or where are you going to find enough process servers? We'll need the whole sheriff's department out there serving everybody, and then it's also look at the cost of having that done to
so
have
you
each
would have had to
person
screw
serve
around on the last day.
Exactly.
If you were going to serve personally.
That is correct. So yeah. It makes us.
How did this hearing get noticed at that on that date?
Everybody that was the hearing for publication. Everybody that had filed. Nobody had filed an answer yet. So we filed the motion after filing the petition, because we're trying to get everything done within the 30 days.
Were you the only attorney at the hearing on request of public?
I was, Your Honor. Yeah, the city had not filed, the city and the Liquor Commission had not filed an appearance or answer, but they had both been served, but nobody filed an appearance or answer. So we had the supplemental hearing, but once again, because of the 30-day notice, that's why we felt that, you know, what do we do? Because we're in the process of trying to get everybody served.
Isn't it correct that service by publication is not completed until the last published notice?
Yes, it is.
And doesn't that mean that by the time your motion for publication was heard, even if it had been granted, there would have been no possibility of completing that within the 30 days?
That is part of our overall argument, Your Honor, between the service of publication. The difference between service and publication and trying to serve everybody by process serving, you can't feasibly get either one done within 30 days.
The statute in the APA, which the Liquor Control Act refers this to be an APA proceeding.
Correct.
Doesn't contemplate service by publication, does it?
It does not. No,
so it requires service of a summons.
Yes. Yes, and it does. And where that's inconsistent with everything, every other case that's done in the state of Nebraska, you file a petition, you serve everybody. If you're a party to the case, you have filed some form of formal appearance either by yourself or your counsel, so that there's something on record that's saying, here's who I am, here's what my address is, here's my role.
Doesn't that take us back to parties of record?
Yes. Versus interested parties, which is the other part of our argument. The judge struck down the fact that she found that these were not interested parties, then she reverses herself.
She actually used the language necessary parties, right?
Correct.
So what does that mean?
Our position is that I guess that's what we're asking to be determined. Our position is that necessary parties would be ourselves, the Liquor Control Commission, the City of Omaha. The people that object are essentially, they should be more considered as witnesses rather than parties. In a case such as this, it's a judicial review of administrative procedure. There's no additional evidence taken. It's simply reviewing what happened at the administrative hearing. That's what the court is ruling. So it's not like they could have.
The statute talks about parties of record and specifically says each individual protesting the issuance.
Mm-hmm. Which is a, once again, how are you supposed to know exactly who they are? The petition just gave a list of names.
From the Kozol opinion about parties of record, and how does that inform us?
Well, the Kozol opinion just left out parties of record. At least we attempted to bring those people in or ask the court for direction on what do we do because of the number of them. That was really kind of the big difference between our opinion and the Kozol opinion.
I wasn't trying to distinguish on the facts. Or the mm-hmm. or the breadth of your petition, because it's a big long caption.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Hundreds. Okay. But what is the law in Kozol as it applies to our understanding of parties of record in this case?
Well, it doesn't help me. I really don't want to talk about it, Your Honor, but what it does is the Kozol opinion says those people should have been served, and they weren't, so the court lacked jurisdiction. So that's one of the things we're asking to be reviewed. What is it, you know, once you have, what does it take to get jurisdiction? Anytime you have, you know, a reasonable number
so
of people.
So is your problem here really that you had a statute that's unworkable for you?
That's a very fair question, Your Honor. I would say that's a big problem for us. Yes.
Do you have a textual argument, or is it an argument that this is an absurd result? What's the principle of statutory interpretation that allows us to arrive at the result you're asking
for? I don't think that, as far as statutory interpretation, I don't think the legislature anticipated anything like this happening. The fact that anytime anybody goes to the Liquor Control Commission and you go and you want to open your bar, and you got all the bar owners that have their bar down the street and they don't like you, they get everybody to show up and sign a thing, and then all of a sudden you're stuck.
Is this a problem we can fix, or is this a problem that needs to be fixed in the legislature?
I'm hoping for both, Your Honor. That's what we're asking for today, is to maybe some guidance from the court to show the legislature to give the legislature some guidance on how to properly determine in the act the difference between a necessary party and somebody that's really a witness. And that's our position. The objectors can certainly object, but really they're more witnesses than they are parties to the case.
Well, keeping Kozel in mind,
yes,
to your chagrin, when the judge issued the ruling, and assuming that we have that in the record,
yes,
in December, was there an error in that ruling?
Dismissing them as interested parties?
Whatever they are, right.
I would say that, was there an error in that ruling? I think that, I don't know if I'd call it an error so much as maybe a question of discretion and maybe something else that needs to be answered. Once again, the judge found that these people weren't interested parties, okay?
If they had been required to be in the mix and properly served,
yep,
then you'd have the city, you'd have the commission, and you'd have all the scouts.
And we'd
bunch,
have,
which, so
we would
don't
have
get
514 parties we
right,
have to serve,
right,
yes.
But when Her Honor said this bunch is out, for one bright shining moment, was there jurisdiction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We think there should still be jurisdiction, and really the question too is on the way the statute's written, at what point, when to get jurisdiction in a civil case in the state of Nebraska, you file a complaint. And once the complaint's on file within the statute of limitations, you have jurisdiction. From that point, the rules of civil procedure grant you 180 days to go get your defendant served. That certainly would have helped us, as with 180 days and $30,000, we could have got all these people served. Okay, would have been not real happy. The sheriff's department probably wouldn't have been real happy with us, but it would have been definitely a money maker for them.
But that's not the framework we're in.
That's the problem. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the problem. That's what we're asking you to consider. Yeah. And I think my red light is going off. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. James D. Smith, appearing for the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. Co-counsels Ryan Wiesen with the City of Omaha. Our intention is to try to split their argument 5-5, and it's going to be a challenge to do that. Start off, our position is the district court did not err by concluding it did not have jurisdiction when the citizen objectors as parties were not served, and the district court in fact never did order any citizen objector stricken as a party, which is their assignment of error. The APA statute for district court review of agency contested cases under the APA requires citizen objectors to be included as parties of record in the district court as construed by COSL and retroactive. It provides for respondents to have a vested right of cross appeal when the district court petition is filed. The statute says that the respondent shall serve its cross appeal within 30 days after being served with summons and petition for review, which necessarily means a respondent being named has a right to cross appeal, has to be served with summons, which never happened in this case.
Mr. Smith, what is it that someone has to do to be treated as a citizen objector? What's the level of how do they manifest that they want to be a party and not just a witness waving a sign in the back of the hearing room?
The way the statutes have been construed is the person has to file an objection. Those written objections are in the record. I think the court, if you wanted to, could fine-tune it to say you also file an objection, you got to show up pursuant to that objection. Theater in the dark. But in this case, they named all of these people as parties. They admit they served absolutely none of them and they have to at least do service on parties of record, whether it's nine, whether it's nine people who objected, showed up and testified, or if it's all of them. They're the ones who named all of these people as parties anyhow.
Do the names and addresses of all of these people appear on the objections?
Not totally for the totality of them. I would say for the nine who showed up, yes. Now, the APA statute, which the more I got looking at it, it's interesting because the statute says summons shall be served within 30 days of filing of the petition in the manner provided for service of a summons, and then it refers to the statute on which that applies only to service on governmental entities.
The reference to Chapter 25.
25, 510.02.
That's how to serve the public entities.
Public entities. Doesn't say
does it permit publication, or have we spoken on
it,
that?
It just doesn't say anything on that 30 days other than service in accordance with the statute on governmental entities. It doesn't say anything about the 30 days applying to the parties of record, although the cross appeal right does require that they have to be served with a summons. I would suggest that it would be proper to then say we default to 25.542. That's the general statute on service of process. That statute says that the chapter on service of process applies to all civil proceedings in all courts of this state. An APA proceeding in the district court proposal is not an appeal, but is rather the institution of a suit to obtain judicial branch review of a non-judicial branch decision. So under 25.542, that's the general statute. It is a civil proceeding. It's a suit, but the 30 days provision that's in the APA really concerns the governmental entities. You still have to serve process. They never did serve summons on any of these people, so at the time the district court entered its ruling, it did not yet have jurisdiction to proceed with the case because nobody of the parties of record, as defined by COSA.
I beg your pardon. So assuming that the December order is in our record, then on that day, did the court have jurisdiction or not?
No, because I would say as far as that order, all the district court did was deny service by publication. Its rationale may have been wrong, but denied service by publication, its reasoning was correct because the publication statute requires an affidavit. They did not submit any affidavit. There's none in the record. So the court should not have granted service by publication anyhow because it reached the right result when no affidavit was submitted authorizing service by publication. But ultimately, these people, the objectors are parties. They're parties of record. None of them are served. They have to be served with summons, maybe not within the 30 days, but they have to be served. The district court correctly determined it did not have jurisdiction to proceed. They don't assign error that the district court erred by dismissing. They're simply assigning error on the basis that the district court erroneously found summons needed to be served, the objectors were parties of record. Well, the district court was not wrong in that regard. They have not assigned error on the fact that the district court dismissed. The district court on this record never did have jurisdiction to proceed.
Can we reach the merits of the district court's order on the motion for service by publication on our record?
I think you can.
How? On the judge's notes?
I'm going by the judge's notes. I'm going by the judge's footnotes, which to me does accurately reflect what the judge had ruled. I don't know that the judge had to do necessarily a written order, but it does reflect the judge did make that ruling and why. I did find, I'm cutting too much into counsel's time, but one thing I wanted to point out, under the Concordia Teachers College case, the statute was amended after that statute, after that case. That case provided for service within 30 days on all parties. the statute later got amended, so it put in the 510.02, which is only on government entities. And frankly, that the committee's statement when that amendment was made, the chairman of the committee was also the attorney that lost the Concordia case, and he lost because he didn't properly serve the government. So he took care of the problem by changing the statute for service so that
with
how you would serve.
With respect to those entities.
Respect to serving the government.
As opposed to parties of record.
Yeah. I think you then default to the general service statute.
Does your reading solve some of the problems that opposing counsel is raising as far as how do we serve 500 people in 30 days? If your reading is you just have to serve them sometime, but it's not controlled by 25.510.02, does that solve some of those problems?
Solves the problems. Doesn't have to serve them within 30 days, but you got to serve them before the court has jurisdiction. Didn't serve anyone. The district court never had jurisdiction.
What happens if you can't find one?
What's that?
What happens if you can't find one for service in a group of 500 or so?
Then I suppose you could. You, the statute on service also provides for service basically by any manner reasonably calculated under the circumstances to provide actual notice. I guess then it's down to what's the circumstances.
So similar kind of question. How does anyone know how many individuals protesting the issuance there are?
It would necessarily have to be if you're appealing the agency record from the agency. You've got to look at the agency record as to who filed the protests. We do know in that case. In this case, we do know who showed up and testified. I don't think that's a difficult problem. I left my counsel only 1 minute, so apologize for that. Or co-counsel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ryan Weiss, an assistant city attorney for the city of Omaha. And I'll just try and clarify a few points in the record with the brief time I have. The first is that the appellants have conceded that there was at least one citizen protester who showed up at the Liquor Control Commission and testified. So I don't think the court has to reach the question of whether or not all 500 individuals who signed protests that were submitted to the Liquor Control Commission qualify as citizen objectors that need to be served under the APA, because we know that at least this one who showed up at the Liquor Control Commission to testify has to be served under a retroactive incozal.
Is that one person somebody who filed a written piece of paper and testified?
That I am unsure of in the record, but we do know that they did show up and represented all those individuals who signed the protest, so I think we can assume that that individual's name was also written there as well. And the appellants made no effort to serve that person or any of the other individuals at all, and that part of the record is clear in the district court's order. They made no attempt at personal service, no attempt at certified mail service, no attempt at designated delivery service. And I see I'm out of time.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on then to the second case of the day, which is State versus Lewis R. Rattel.